As Christmas draws near, it is always amazing to recall the number and variety of television specials that accompany the heightened anticipation of these days. The annual adaptations of A Christmas Carol, The Gift of the Magi, the seemingly indestructible 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Now, into this rather traditional kind of Christmas fare and television, we can also add the prize-winning film, Ordinary People. That film is set in an affluent suburb anywhere, USA. And a part of the elapsed time in the film is this time of the year now, what is called the rush preparation time for Christmas. Now, while the plot and the setting of the film are very contemporary, many of the themes are perennially valid, especially at Christmas time. In reality, this film is really a modern version of the great gap that exists today between the ideals of this Christmas season and the reality of family life right now in our own day. As you may recall, the plot involves a husband, a wife, and a teenage son. They've all suffered through the recent drowning death of the other son. And now, in this seemingly ideal American family, the film reveals how these three survivors dealt with the loss of the child. The physical loss of a child, but the more devastating emotional void that his death creates in the family circle. The other son, who witnessed the accident, attempts suicide. But in the film now, he is in therapy, which proves to be ultimately very fruitful and curative. The mother's dealing with death in the family is revealed how she deals with the other members of the family, especially with the surviving son. She's very cold toward him, angry with him for allowing the accident to happen, even though he had nothing to do with it as far as his fault was concerned. And that leaves the husband, who is caught between the son and his wife, and he finally achieves an uneasy truce with a divided loyalty toward the two, attempting to please both of them. Now, as part of the plot resolution, the surviving son does achieve a measure of self-love and forgiveness. He discovers that he can love himself, accept himself, despite the accident that caused the death of his brother, which he witnessed. The husband is able to deal with the whole situation much more honestly and productively than the wife and the mother. The father ultimately affirms his son, forgives his son any fault, any guilt. But it is the mother who finds herself so incapable of dealing with this tragedy that by the end of the film, she leaves home, leaves the family, in order to seek release. She has decided that she is willing to pay any price in order to avoid this tragically painful situation. Now, the plot may not be the same in our own homes today. And fortunately, it's rare that a family disharmony is so dramatic and explicit as the death of a family member, although in this parish it has happened. But there is at least one very important message of this film, and that is how it is possible to deal with the problems of a family when these problems are worked out together so that reconciliation is able to be created, the kind of reconciliation that Christ came to bring us. But the gift of faith that we all have, we do believe in this divine human mystery of God's mysterious love for each of us, shown forth in Christ Jesus. With this season of the year, Christ takes on our flesh. And taking our flesh means that he also takes to himself our own pain and weakness of being human. By the incarnation mystery, it is Christ who now gives us ordinary people the ability to deal with conflict in our own families with his power. Christ takes our pain and weakness with our mortal flesh, so that as Paul tells us, in our flesh, we people today make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. It means that when Christ takes our pain and weakness, joins it to his own, our pain and weakness receive a redemptive value. They now have meaning, a mysterious meaning given by the Passover mystery, so that everything in our life, including our pain, has meaning. It is all done, all accepted now, through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, as a sacrificial offering to the Father. Our faith tells us that the Christ Spirit, which is at the heart of the entire created order, is the only power that is great enough to bring us the kind of forgiveness and healing that we need. There's no technique, no pop psychology, no charm, no art, no human power of any kind that is strong enough to heal in this way. It is only the healing power of our God given to us in Jesus Christ that is able to release us people from the fear, the guilt, and those feelings of powerlessness that so often almost destroy the very hope that we all need today. And in the film, while it's very easy to point at either one of the parents for not being responsive to the real issues of life in their family, we are able to point to Mary, the maiden, in today's gospel as an example of faith for us. To understand that she had to face the conflict of her life, the kind of trust that we need in our life. A young maiden in the story of today's gospel receives a message. She's to bear a child, although she is single. And Luke explicitly tells us the difficulties that she had accepting that role. And it was fear. Fear was the first reaction that Mary had. And yet her deep faith in God's will, her trust in his word, was exactly what made all the difference. She would do, she said, as he wished. It cost her social embarrassment and conflict, but she did do what God willed. And we people today are able to marvel at that kind of acceptance and obedience. But what we should do is take to heart that Mary, this young maiden, did question her role. She doubted and probed what all of this would cost her if she did accept. And her reaction is what our reaction is. So very often, we people today try to avoid any kind of socially embarrassing solution to the problems that we face as ordinary people. We always try first the safe positions in order not to cause ourselves any kind of awkward moments. We find ourselves always adopting a diplomatic approach to any kind of moral and ethical questions, when in reality the gospel demands that we face these questions squarely. Now the example of Mary is so poignant because the gospel shows how she had to struggle, just as we ordinary people have to struggle. Hers was an explicit trust, and that is exactly what inspires us today. But that trust she had also included doubt, many doubts, and many fears. But what her example tells us, that doubts and fears are normal in our lives. They are part of that process that we all have in carrying out the will of God, week by week and day by day. Hers was not any kind of cheap grace. She paid the price of discipleship. The film, Ordinary People, is filled with socially acceptable behavior. But it does end in a very poignant scene where the mother decides finally to leave home, at least for a time. This story does not have a happy ending. The story of the ordinary person in today's gospel, Mary the maiden, is that she lived faithfully as God wanted her to. She is the model for all of us ordinary believers. And that's why we are here at the Eucharist, so that we will have the strength that we receive in the Eucharist to face the demands of our own ordinary lives. In these very last days of Advent, as we prepare to welcome, as Mary did, God's gift of salvation, redemption for us. We are ordinary people, all of us, redeemed by that mysterious, extraordinary love that God has for each of us. Thank you.